You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Welcome to anyone who's new. We're so glad you're here. Anyone joining us on YouTube or live or recorded or on Facebook Live, we are so glad that you are with us today. And we're in our second installment of this series that we're calling White Noise. And what it's all about is it's a series about how we distract ourselves from the emotions or circumstances or relationships that we're in but we don't want to deal with. It's the things that we use to block or mask the things that we don't want to confront. And that those things are oftentimes things that God is trying to speak to us through, or God is trying to get us to work through. And oftentimes we miss, as we talked about last week, we miss the rest and the peace of God in our lives because we are so caught up with turning up the white noise whenever things get too stressful, or we don't want to feel something we're feeling, or we don't want to deal with a relationship we're in the middle of or a circumstance that we're surrounded by. And so today I want to talk deeply about relationships, but I want to do things a little bit differently today. I hope that's okay. I want to read the scripture first, because whether you're a Christian or not today, Jesus' words really get to the heart of the issue, and they're why I'm going to say everything I'm going to say this morning, as always. And I want us to just kind of be like the scripture to kind of deal with us. So I'm going to invite my friend Kylie Sauer out to kind of read the scripture. It's going to be out of Matthew 5. So you're welcome to turn with us there. It'll be on the screen. She's going to be reading out of the NLT version. But would you please just turn your attention to and be reflective of what this scripture has to say to you today.
Matthew 5:21. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar and go be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God.
Thank you, Ellie. And in some traditions, they would go, this is the word of God for the people of God. And then you would all say, thanks be to God. And so that's something that that's a tradition that I came from in college. And I wanted to share that with you because I think it's fun sometimes and interesting to let the scriptures stand over you and speak to you, because it's not us that comes to this book and says, well, here's what it says. It's something that kind of comes and corrects us. It's not a sword that we wield. It's a scalpel that kind of corrects and takes out what's rotten in our own lives. And so that's what I want to do in this space. And that kind of verse, I don't know if it shocks you like it shocks me, especially if you've been in church a lot. You kind of hear blah, 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 Jesus, 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 okay. But Jesus said some weird stuff. I want to remind you that Jesus is the reason you're here today, whether you like it or not. That the reason we have church is because Jesus did some stuff back then. So whether you like it or not, that's why we're here. But Jesus, in this passage, literally in verse 23 and 24, tells the people he was speaking to, hey, if you have a relationship in your life that's unhealthy, there's some tension there. So if someone has something against you at all, go and handle that. Leave church. Leave your offering at the table. Leave your gift. Stop tithing. Stop doing charity work. Stop serving and go and deal with that relationship. Now, is that weird to anybody else that Jesus, the kind of reason we do church, is telling you to kind of leave church? Isn't that kind of like there's something else more important than that? That seems kind of weird to me. And maybe you're not hearing that, but I'm hearing that literally in the passage. If you're presenting your gift at the altar and you remember that someone has something against you, go and deal with that first. And we'll get into maybe why that is later, but I just want us to just kind of be like, kind of wrecked by that statement. That somehow God is saying making amends is more important than a religious activity. That this kind of thing, and I think what God's trying to get us to understand is that even Christian stuff, even church stuff, even connecting with God, you cannot allow that to be your white noise. Okay? God is not going to allow you to use him or to use anything to say, well, I'm not going to deal with this relationship I don't want to handle. I am too, and this is so easy for me as a pastor because I got church stuff going on all the time. I can always be like, hey guys, sorry, I can't deal with that friend that's going through a really rough time right now. I can't talk to this person right now because I've got this meeting going on tonight. I've got this and this and this and this. And God's like, no, you cannot let me be your white noise. You cannot let me be the reason why you don't confront this relationship in your life. And I don't know about you, but I don't like that. Boldface, do not like that. Because I love to use religion and I love to use a lot of different versions of white noise to hide from relationships I don't want to deal with. And maybe you, as I said earlier, are spicier than me. Maybe you in your relationships in your life, if someone wrongs you or you wrong someone else, you deal with that right away. You confront someone. But I don't know about you. I feel like most of the people out here, most of us in our culture in America, we're like, it's fine. Or we're like, I'm never going to just talk to that person again. That's how we deal with conflict. That's how we deal with difficult stuff in our relationships. And nothing makes this more clear to me than like how many of you have ever like run into an ex at the grocery store? Oh, like the chills, like get me out of here. Like I will starve tonight and I will come back a different day so I don't have to talk to that person. Or let's just say you went to high school with them. Or you have beef with them, you know? Or you have a history with them. There's nothing that I want to deal with. Or there's a family member. Anyone I run into the grocery store that I'm not expecting to be at the grocery store is a time where I'm like, all right, I don't want to talk to them. So sorry if you run into me at the grocery store. I'm just going to be like, hey, bye, you know? It's kind of, relationships are awkward and difficult for a lot of us, and even for me as an extrovert. And then when you put conflict into that or you put tension into that, and the first thing I want to do is get out. You know that phrase, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? So when the going gets tough in relationships, I feel like we all get going. We all say, I need to head out. I need to get out of this relationship. Whether it's a like family conflict where you're with a sibling or an uncle or an aunt or your mom or your dad or your son or your daughter, something comes up, some kind of tension. You're offended. They're offended. They hurt you. They do something to you. They steal from you. Whatever it is, I don't know about you, I want to cut them off. I want to, especially if it's someone peripheral in my life, a friend of mine who offends me, if someone doesn't text me back after I've been like, hey, let's hang out, I'm like, I got a friend right now. I'm like, you got to text me back if you want to talk to me. Kind of stuff. Because I don't want to deal with that rejection. I don't want to deal with that conflict. I want to put that back on them. And I think a lot of times in our lives, in our human culture, even reading the old stories from Genesis, talk about Adam and Eve, talk about Cain and Abel. What do they do immediately after? They hide. They hide. And I think it's in our human nature and it's also in our culture that when things go wrong in relationships, we want to just get out. We want to hide from that. We don't want to deal with that. And there's this meme right now that's surfacing on the internet. I'm a bit old on this one. But it's just ripe. It's just perfect, okay? And go with me here. I know that this may not be your forte, but I'm going to do a little bit of meme 101. So here's the meme, if we can throw it up on the screen. Yes, right, thank you. Amen, Pastor. All right. So a meme is where they have an image or picture or content of some kind, and then you relate a caption or a situation to it, and then it's kind of like an inside joke between you and strangers. Fun. So what happens is you see SpongeBob in this meme, and he looks like he looks, and there's a caption that says, I am a head out, all right? I am a head out. I know this is not me, okay? I'm super white, and that's not going to, like, work really well for me, but I'm handling it. And then, so what the situation is it says, when your coworkers acting like the manager, and then you go, I'm a head out. And I don't know if you're like this, but if my coworker comes up to me, and they try to tell me how to do my job, I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, Trevor. And then I like drive off in my forklift, okay? You can't drive off. Sometimes some of you are stuck at a desk. But like, how many of you, when a coworker tries to tell you what to do, you're just like, leave me alone. And you, Trevor's like, good thing Trevor isn't a real person. Ha, psych. Fake name. Fake. Right, yeah. It's really Patrick. Psych. Ha. Wow, revealed. All right, we're going to stop that. I'm having too much fun up here. They've let me loose. It's really bad. It's time for you to leave. Sorry. Anyway, so So there's nothing that grinds my gears more than when someone with no authority comes up and tries to tell me how to do my job, okay? Here's how I handle that conflict. I just, like, I'm like, okay, sure, that's great, thank you so much. And then I don't do that at all because they can't tell me what to do, even if they're right, because they probably don't even follow the rules themselves. I'm like, hey, did you write the employee handbook? No, okay, bye. So that's how I deal with that kind of conflict. And then what I do is I go behind their back, and I talk to a coworker and I complain about them all day because I'm like, I ain't going to be slighted by this guy and not get back at them somehow. But I ain't going to say it to their face. So how many of you deal with conflict like that? How many of you are like non-confrontational people who will just kind of go behind the back? Okay, so all of you are confrontational people. Wow, I'm scared. That means that, like, if I say something, you're all going to be like, whoa, whoo, tension. So, confrontational or non-confrontational, I think that the first two verses in this passage from Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' first sermon, really, like, deal with this problem in our life, okay? So would you go with me there again in verses 21 and 22? This is what it says. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. And so far, we're with Jesus, okay? We're like, yeah, murder, bad, gotcha. Jesus, great job. Killing it, all right? Love Jesus. Great stuff. And then Jesus says this, but if I say to you, I say to you this, if you are even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. Woo! Now, I don't know if you got nervous, but I do all of that. So I'm guilty of all of that, guys. Below this lovely surface of whatever this is, I'm angry a lot of times with people. I'm angry a lot of times with people that I don't even know in our world. And I'm under the surface. I've told you about my temper. I'm an angry person. And that's something that I'm very, very guilty of. And a lot of us are like, you know, as long as you just keep that anger inside, you're good. As long as you don't get in an all-out fist fight with someone, you're fine. And I don't know about you. I don't call someone an idiot to their face often. And I never, ever cuss people out. But you best believe I'm cussing them out in here. And you best believe sometimes I'm cussing them out behind their back to a coworker. Okay? I am a person who uses complaining as a white noise. Okay? So instead of dealing with the conflict that I have with someone, particularly, usually, some friend of mine, some coworker, maybe a sibling, I'll go to the other sibling, I'll go to another coworker and complain about it, because complaining is this great thing where you get to relieve stress but never actually do the hard work of dealing with the problem. But that's the scary part too about complaining, and maybe this is your white noise that you use often, is that complaining is really bondage, especially if you have to continually work with the person you have a complaint against. Because for me, if I have a complaint against a worker, I'll go back in and I'll have to experience them every day. And I don't know about you, but I hold grudges, okay? I may not look like it, but I I do, and I know you do too. I know you do too. And if somebody cuts me off to the printer, I'm like, oh. And if we have beef, I'm like, oh my gosh, you did not just do that. And I get angry, and I get upset, and I complain about them to someone else. And so then, what am I doing all day, every day? The complaints stack up against them. I get angrier and angrier and angrier. And then most of my thought life at work is, oh, I'm so angry at this person. And then most of my, like, conversation with other people is like, oh, can you believe Trevor? Ugh. And so what is my life dominated by? Complaining. What they did to me one time now dominates all of my thought life, all of my conversation. And so I don't have a complaint. A complaint has me. I'm in bondage to that, and I'm stressed out, and I'm angry, and my emotional life and my thought life is dominated by something that I could have dealt with way back here. But instead, it's easier to just complain and relieve my stress that way instead of dealing with it. And I don't know if your white noise is like that, but that's what it's like for me. You maybe use another white noise when it comes to relationships. But here's what I want to get, okay, is that the challenge isn't just to stop being angry, because that's really tough. And I don't think that's what Jesus is talking to us about. And I don't think the challenge is to stop calling people idiots or just to stop, you know, cussing people out. I think that's part of it, But I think Jesus takes us a step further and says, actually, I need you to go make amends with them. And that's the really challenging part. That's the really difficult part. That's the message we don't want to hear this morning. Because honestly, I want to just complain. And this is the beautiful thing about social media is now I can complain in 5 seconds to my entire feed of followers. And I don't even have to name them. I could be like, I just hate fake people. And really, I'm talking about Trevor. I'm sorry to Trevor in the room today. If you're out there and your name is Trevor, no hard feelings. I don't hate on you at all. But this, the great thing about social media is that you can complain about somebody and not even be talking about them. And you can get that stress out, but it still lingers in your life. And if you're a person who's held a grudge for years, or if you've had beef with someone for a long time or history, that resentment, that bitterness, you know the toll that that takes on your body. You know the difficulties, and your and scientifically, your cortisol levels, your stress levels are going to make you live less long because you're frustrated with this person, because you won't deal with this. So you don't even have to take this from Jesus today. I'm talking to you from just a purely human perspective here, that dealing with our problems and making amends with people would be better for us just flat out, just bodily. But it's really, really hard. And I think that Jesus wants us to get beyond just avoiding anger or avoiding conflict with people. I think he wants us to change conflicting and difficult relationships into healthier ones. And so the next two verses kind of deal with that. So would you go with me there to verses 23 and 24? And he says this, so if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple, which was a thing that Jewish people did all the time, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled, big word there, scary word, to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. And I love this phrase, someone has something against you. Actually, I don't love it at all because it's so broad. Because a lot of times what we like to do is we like to say, well, you know, someone's offended by what I said. And I say, well, that's their fault. They're a snowflake. They can't handle me. I'm unfiltered. They can't handle who I am. That's not my fault. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus didn't say, you know, hey, if you have wronged someone, then go and deal with it. If someone has something against you, it may be completely unfounded. They may be completely wrong about you, about what you said. But Jesus is like, you still have the responsibility to go mend that relationship. But folks, it's way easier to burn a bridge than it is to mend it. It's way easier to just leave a relationship and hide it and say the ball is in their court when it's really in ours. And what Jesus is calling us to today is when people come and they say, and you know that they're offended by something you said or done, and it's not your fault. It doesn't matter who's to blame. We are responsible for making amends. If the relationship is broken, do your part to mend it. That is the call of Jesus today, and it's really, really hard. And that doesn't mean we have to be apologetic. I'm not saying that you need to walk in and every time that someone's offended by something, you go, oh, I'm so sorry. God didn't call you to be a doormat, as my mom would say. God didn't call you to be walked all over. But the truth is that making a relationship right and going in and saying to someone, hey, why did I offend you? Why is what I'm saying like harmful to you? What did I do to hurt you? Because the truth is if we are genuinely for other people, we're not going to want to offend people. We may want to say what we want to say, but if we can avoid it, we're going to want to avoid offending and hurting people, unless you're about that, and then that's another conversation. And I think Jesus is trying to get us to a place where we realize that if someone is hurt, if someone is offended, if someone has conflict with us, it's not their responsibility, it's just as much ours. And that's really, really difficult to understand. But I want you to imagine with me, if the relationships that you have that in your life, whether it be family or friends or coworkers, or a partner or spouse or an ex, that what if you knew, what if you lay your head on your pillow at night and you knew that you had done everything you can to make peace with those relationships? Would that help your stress levels? Because a lot of what I do, and I assume this is true for you as well, what we do is we end up spending our time thinking about, oh, what do they think about me? Or we spend our time complaining about them in our head. Oh, I can't believe that they still are offended about that. They need to get over it. They need to grow a pair. They need to grow up. I can't believe that they act like this. And I don't know about you, but if I knew that my relationships were good, if I had made amends with people, that would take a lot of things off my mind and a lot of burdens off my back. And I think God wants to free us and liberate us from these destructive relationships that hold on to us and hold us back from focusing on the things that matter, from focusing on the things that are good. And instead, we focus on all this tension and we complain. I think God wants to free us from that. And there's a bigger issue when we don't make amends, especially in those small situations. I've been watching this show, and this is kind of a big stretch for me. I'm watching Hip Hop Evolution, okay? On Netflix. All right, yeah. Turn them tables, baby. It's really cool. It's outside of my, you know, wheelhouse, but I love it. And it like made me want to become a DJ the other night, and I had to stop myself. it was really neat. But they're talking about later on this guy you might know named Tupac and this other guy named Biggie Smalls, okay? And there's this West-East conflict in hip-hop at the time. And Tupac and Biggie, they were close, though. One was from the West, one was from the East. And what happened was is Biggie was recording a record, and he invited Tupac over, and Tupac got jumped. And Tupac eventually ends up in prison for some other stuff. And what ended up happening was is Tupac blames Biggie, and Biggie says, it's not my fault. I don't have to apologize. I don't have to go make amends with him. And so what happens was they grow apart, and there's this East-West tension that keeps growing and growing and growing, and eventually both of them die because of that. They get shot because of that conflict. And it was crazy to me that just because they did not deal with that problem in their relationship, they not only lost a friendship, both of them lost their lives. And I'm not saying that yours is that severe, but a lot of times we have things in our life, it's not real conflict, it's just miscommunication. And because we refuse to talk and to be open with other people, we lose relationships. I remember I had a friend of mine that we were close friends, and I thought he really hated me. I thought he had a real problem with me, but I never talked to him about it. And for like a year of our life, we didn't really talk to each other until we made amends again. And I found out there was nothing going on. We were just mutually thought each other hated each other. And I feel like a lot of times in relationships, we miss out because we are afraid and we're trying to hide from dealing with what's really going on in the relationship. And I don't know about you. Here's another form of white noise that I use to kind of mask myself. I'm one who uses busyness all the time, okay? I don't know if that's you, but I like being busy because I can hide from the things that God wants me to deal with. I don't need to take on odd jobs. I don't need to work this many hours a week, but it saves me from when God says, hey, remember that friend that hasn't been texting you back? You need to call them. They're going through a hard time. Hey, you need to call your family. Hey, you need to reconnect with this person. Hey, this person at work, I need you to be 100% present with them. And I'm like, oh God, I'm too stressed out. I'm too tired. I'm too busy. I've got this thing going on at church. I've got this thing going on here or there. And I use busyness as this like wall to prevent me from having to deal with and confront the people in my life, the situations that are uncomfortable, the conversations I don't want to have. I use that as my white noise to block that out. And you know what's sinister about it is that I look like this great, hardworking person. I look charitable even because I'm doing church stuff. And so I look like this great person, but what I'm really doing in my heart of hearts, and I don't even realize it sometimes, is I'm hiding from the people that God has given me in my life. And the people that you are surrounded with, whether you like the gift or not, are a gift. You don't choose your family, and you don't even really, a lot of times, choose the people that you're surrounded with. But the truth is that people are a gift. Our relationships are a gift from God. And a lot of times in our disposable culture, we treat people like just garbage that can be thrown away. We treat relationships like, you know, we can just get rid of them. And that's great. This is great. Thank you. Sorry I made that really uncomfortable for you. Sorry, I'm the worst. Sorry, I'm like really trying to pull it back together here. Whoop. And I know that that seems strange, but I want you to think about God as a parent. And I think this really helps me understand why Jesus would say something like this. Because why would a religious leader, why would Jesus tell you not to worship God? Tell you to put relationships ahead of that? I feel like it's kind of like this parent. And if you have kids, you probably relate to this. Imagine you have a kid. Imagine you have multiple. And the one is like tearing up the other's stuff. Exactly. Breaking stuff. Calling the other kid names. Just being a total jerk. Your little kid's this little demon child just running, causing havoc in your family. And they could be 5. They could be 25. They could be 45. And they're breaking up relationships in your family. They're treating their siblings poorly. They're ignoring them. They're neglecting them. Whatever that might be. And then they come to you and they say, hey, I made this present for you. I drew this picture for you. I want to take you out to dinner. I want to spend time with you. And as a parent, you go, this is a great gift. Thank you so much. But the better gift for me would be if you treated your siblings with respect. If you confronted the relationship that you, and confronted why you're treating them poorly. This is wonderful, but I want our family to be in harmony. I want all of my kids to get along. And I think God looks at us like that. I think God's looking at us like, this is great that you're in church, but you're not treating people like they're your brothers and sisters. And if you come in here and you say, I'm a child of God, but then you treat your brothers and sisters like strangers, then are you really a child of God? And we have to grow into this imagination. We have to grow into this thing that, because Jesus is trying to get us beyond the divisive politics and understandings of this world, which says, I get mine and you get yours and that's it. Jesus is trying to get us to a place where we can be a true family, where we can really treat each other like the gift that we are to each other. And so Jesus is trying to pull this out of us. And the truth is, folks, is that we cannot give and receive with God if we are unwilling to do that with our brothers and sisters, with the people in our lives. It's just not possible. Because Jesus says, however you treat one of the least of these, you treat me like that. And so if you're coming up to your brother and sister and ignoring them and pushing them away, and you are neglecting that relationship and you know you have beef or trouble or history or conflict or tension that you're ignoring, and then you come to God, God's like, dude, give me a good gift. Give me the good gift of confronting the relationships that I've given you in your life. Don't just come to me as white noise. Don't just come to me to hide from the things in your life that you don't want to deal with. And that is a message for all of us today. Look at Matthew 5:9. Jesus says this like 10 or 12 verses before this in the Sermon on the Mount. He says this, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called children of God. And folks, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you're like, I'm a child of God. We have a calling to be vessels of peace and grace and hope for people. Just like that song talked about. And it doesn't matter what they have done to you, and it doesn't matter if it's your fault or not. Jesus is saying, if there are relationships in your life that I've given you, you don't have to be best buds with them, but I need you to go and bring the peace that I have given to you to somebody else. And you know, Jesus does this all the time with us, where we ignore God and where we have pushed God aside, or where we have disobeyed God, where we have taken our own way in life. And Jesus always comes back and says, hey, there's grace for you. Hey, it's okay. I'm pursuing you still. Hey, get back in right relationship with me. And we should be like that with people. If God has shown us that kind of grace, we need to embody that grace to other people. And so what I want to do today is I want to create some space for making amends. And in recovery, they push this all the time. And I think this is something that we miss if we're not focused on that, if we're not in that community. And I think it's such a powerful thing. because in our disposable culture, we just want to throw relationships away. We want to hide from them. And the truth is, folks, here's the hope. Here's why I say this with such passion. Here's why I want this for me, is that what if you, when you walk in these doors or when you walk out of these doors, you weren't trying to hide from someone? What if there wasn't someone in your life who you were actively bitter at, resentful, hurt by, angry at, complaining about? What if you were free of that? What if in our relationships, and you know, Thanksgiving's coming up. There are, and trust me, we all have that uncle, okay? We all have that family member that we're dreading being around. And I don't know why we're dreading being around them, but maybe it's because something in your life, they have said something to you, they have hurt you in some way, and you need to confront them about that. And you say, hey, this is pretty messed up, and I need you to make this right. What you did to me was not right. And if we want this relationship to continue, I need you. And that's going to be really difficult. But imagine if the next Thanksgiving, you had this great relationship with your uncle and you can go there without any worry or fear about that. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be incredible? And this is the hope, that the relationships that seem broken right now and seem really tense, they're redeemable. That if we would reach out and respond to God and say, okay, I trust you, that when I make amends, you're going to take care of it. You're going to watch over me. You're going to bring hope and grace and peace into this situation. And so what I want to do right now for the last 4 minutes of the time we have today, I want us to pray and to say, to do exactly what Jesus asks us to do here. To sit down and to say, okay, God, is there someone who has something against me? Is there someone I need to go be reconciled with? And that word reconciled means to be changed thoroughly. God, is there a relationship that you want to change thoroughly in my life, that you want to transform? And how do I do that? And if you're stuck, I want you to scroll through your contacts. And if you see a name and God's like, hey, you need to go make that right with them, you need to go text them and call them. Text them, set up a meeting. Because I'm not about to bring you in here and waste your time by talking to you and then not give you any time to actually respond. And I'm sorry. It's going to be a little uncomfortable. But you have to kick me out or else, you know, I'll keep doing this. So this is, ball's in your court. Love you guys. I think we need this because we need to be free from the relationships in our life that are so toxic. We need to be fully free from them. And I wonder what kind of a life it would be like, and I'm not there, where I wouldn't have to worry about what other people think of me, and I wouldn't have to worry about, you know, because I know that I've already made peace with all that. I know I've already made amends with all that. I don't have to worry about that. I can focus on what God has for me and what I'm doing that day. My mind is there. So we're going to take 4 minutes. We're going to play a song that Dustin and I were talking about right before the service, and it's called Memories, and I want you to think back to the good times with the people in your life and ask God, the people who I'm not having the good time with right now, God, will you change that? God, how do I be a part of that reconciliation? So we're going to take 4 minutes. Let God speak to you in this time. Let's all be changed. Let's all be transformed. Let's all be changed thoroughly by this experience. So they're going to play. And would you just open yourself up to God as we close?
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.